Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The nation is waking up to another grim COVID milestone. 1 million people have now lost their lives to the virus. President Biden updating the death toll overnight, sending prayers to all the loved ones left behind.
1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table, each irreplaceable, each leaving behind a family, a community, forever changed because of this pandemic.
Biden also ordering flags to be lowered to half-staff to honor those who have died from the virus. Fewer travelers are taking to the skies as inflation tightens its hold on Americans' budgets. Adobe saying airline bookings fell 17% in April from March. Spending on domestic tickets totaled $7.8 billion in April. That's a 13% drop from March. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
The Labor Department reporting 203,000 Americans filed initial jobless claims last week. That's a few thousand more than the previous week's revised total. President Biden on Wednesday visited a family farm in Kankakee, Illinois, amid concerns of a global food supply shortage. Following the tour, the president is blaming Russia's invasion of Ukraine for the global supply chain disruption, particularly the shortage of wheat.
Ukraine says they have 20 million tons of grain in their silos right now. And guess what? If those tons don't get to market, an awful lot of people in Africa are going to starve to death.
Senate Democrats say they're not giving up on a federal abortion bill after one failed on the Senate floor Wednesday by a 49-51 vote. The bill would have made abortion legal up until the birth of a child. West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin joining all Republicans in opposition to the bill. USA Radio News.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
A wildfire that erupted Wednesday afternoon in coastal Southern California torched rows of multi-million dollar mansions. Ryan Fennessy, chief of the Orange County Fire Authority, spoke to reporters late Wednesday evening.
The focus is to get into these homes, to really take a look at those attics, to get down into vegetation, to really make sure that we're not leaving any hot embers in place so that the wind, when the wind does pick up again tomorrow, that we've missed anything and we have, you know, a rekindle.
Fennessy said at least 20 homes were destroyed as the wildfire spread to some 200 acres, driven by wind gusts and fueled by dry brush. Colorado Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot traded blows on Twitter this week after the mayor said a possible Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade could lead to the undoing of LGBTQ rights and warranted a call to arms. Boebert and Lightfoot then went on to accuse each other of supporting insurrection. The congresswoman reminds everyone,
President Trump said to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Chicago Mayor Little Lori Lightfoot just gave a call to arms. If anyone in America is an insurrectionist, it's Little Lori. And instead of coming at me on Twitter, this failed mayor should be focused on protecting the good people of Chicago.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing now.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, and we've got a great story for you. I mean, this is, I don't know how to tell you. I mean, because words just really can't express how much this story in one part says that you may look at it and say a tragedy on one hand, but yet on another, it is not. This is a victory. It is the new book from Zane Asher, Where the Children Take Us, How One Family Achieved the Unimaginable. Zane, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allow me to read the inside of the jacket, because this will give us a good foundation and our audience to understand the blessing of your family and this story. It's the spellbinding memoir opens with a woman receiving shattering news that her husband and her son have been in a terrible accident. In that instant, she becomes a widow immigrant left to raise four children in a neighborhood consumed by poverty and violence. There's tragedy in this tale, as I said, but it's not a tragedy. Her struggle awakens an inner strength that, coupled with the rituals of radical mothering from her village, leads to the family salvation. The fierce parenting style she adopts ultimately produces an Oscar-nominated actor, an Oxford-educated CNN anchor, a medical doctor, and a successful entrepreneur. This is a story that we needed to hear, and a story that will bless us, and I believe that will encourage parents, you know, all around the world. Zane, I cannot thank you enough for your family story and for you being faithful to share it with us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even just listening to your introduction there, it is a tragedy in a sense, because in 1988, September 1988, my mother was in the living room in our house in South London, and my father and my brother were on a long-distance road trip. And she was waiting by the phone, expecting my dad to call her to say, "Hey, listen, we're back. We landed at the airport. Come and pick us up." And so she knew what time their flight was going to land. And so she got ready, and she waited by the phone. An hour goes by, nothing. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, nothing. And she's sort of thinking to herself, okay, so obviously they missed their flight, but they can still call me to let me know that they missed their flight. Nothing would have stopped them from doing that. So she doesn't really understand what's happening. She assumes that maybe their flight was delayed or something like that, but she just really isn't sure what on earth could have happened. And then around 6:30 in the evening, the phone finally rings, and my mother answers, expecting it to be my dad, and it's not my dad. It's actually an extended relative in Nigeria, which is where my family is originally from, and where that road trip was taking place. And the voice of this extended relative basically says to my mom, "Your husband and your son have been involved in a car crash. one of them is dead, and we don't know which one. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I mean, you can imagine the sort of just gut-wrenching, painful sort of devastation, the heartache, the sorrow, the fear, the anxiety mm-hmm. that my mother went through in that moment. I always describe it as an emotional earthquake. My father, my brother, yeah, they were in Nigeria because my dad wanted to teach my brother where he was from and a bit about, you know, our family background and our heritage. And they were traveling from Enugu, which is the town we're originally from, all the way to Lagos, mm-hmm. which is the sort of New York of Nigeria. And yeah. it's a six-hour drive. And somewhere, you know, along the freeway, the driver who was, you know, driving the car swerved into the opposite lane to cut traffic. And as the car veered around a bend, it was hit by a speeding tractor trailer. And everyone in the car died instantly, apart from one person mm-hmm. in the back seat where my father mm-hmm. and my brother were sitting. And so, obviously, as you know, it turned out to my father who had passed away. And, you know, the reason why I say my story has tragedy in it, but it's not a tragedy, is because what the book really is about is the fact that despite that sort of earth-shattering grief, that harrowing phone call, the fact that my mother went to Nigeria shortly afterwards, literally that night, having a flight in the early hours of the morning, without knowing who she was going to be burying, whether it was going to be her husband or her son.
She still didn't even know then at that point, right? She didn't even know that whether it was her. And meanwhile, she got a report, and she got reports that both had died. So there was all kinds of information, you know, coming her way to even, you know, add to the heartbreak, right?
Well, it was extended relatives initially thought that both had died. Then hours later, they had heard word that one person, i.e. my brother, may have survived. And then they heard again that maybe both had passed away. This is extended relatives in our village. And so they were still basically arguing with each other, trying to work out what had actually happened when one of them actually called my mother to tell her because, you know, hours had now passed since the accident and nobody really knew what was happening. And so one person called her and they made that harrowing phone call. And so the book though really is about just the fact that despite all of that, my mother carried us on her back. And, you know, I talk about in the book the fact that she was pregnant at the time of that phone call. She had three kids.
Exactly.
Pregnant with us. And she carried us on her back and fought with every ounce of her being to give us a better life, despite the fact that she is this, you know, an African widowed immigrant living in London, not much money, you know, because of her tough love, because of her sort of fierce parenting strategies, because of her discipline. You know, my siblings and I have now surpassed every expectation for a family in our circumstances. You point out that because of her, really, I'm now an anchor at CNN. My brother is an actor and was nominated for an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. My sister's a doctor and my oldest brother is a successful entrepreneur. And so the book really explains how she did it. And it is my intention that it gives people hope.
Well, you give us some insight into the Nigerian culture, because what your mother was left with was, was her life experience, the way she was raised, and here it is, everything was going to fall on her. I just can't imagine, you know, what all your mother was dealing with, you know, psychologically, much less, you know, realizing the responsibility. Okay, here I'm the head of the family, and I've got to take charge, and I've got the responsibility of the future of these four kids, and everything about her is now invested in her children. And look at the dividend that is released that blesses your family and everybody else that comes into your orbit. And dare I say, even the people who are listening to this interview today and those that will read your book, Where the Children Take Us, how they will be blessed because of your mother's commitment to her family and to her children.
Yeah, I mean, she did so many. And I am really in awe of her now because I'm a parent myself. I have two kids. They're very young, three, right. 3.5, and 9 months. But now that I'm a mom myself, I am in utter awe of some of the things that my mother did to raise us after the accident. You know, immediately afterwards, obviously, you know, she was just devastated, catatonic. She would lock herself in her bedroom and we would hear screams and wails on the other side of the bedroom door. This lasted for a while.
Zane, I'll tell you what, I've got to interrupt you for just a second. We've got to go to a quick break. Let's pick it up from there on the other side. Stay with us. We've got more from Zane Asher and her story, Where the Children Take Us, right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home. For less than a dollar a day. For real. With no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
America, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. Zane Asher is with us, and she's telling us her story, which is really, you know, this is, I guess, a huge thank you, as much as a child could say thank you to their mother, this documentation and this story of yours, right?
Yeah, it is absolutely my way of celebrating my mother, celebrating the quiet hero that she is, and everything that she everything that she did for us. You know, I was mentioning before the break that, you know, after the accident, it was a very difficult time for our family. She, again, wasn't really able to be present as a parent. One of my brothers especially went off the rails. He ended up, especially without a father figure, getting kicked out of school. You know, this was somebody who used to be a straight A student who's suddenly getting into fights at school, yelling at his teachers, who's completely out of character. He was 14 and he was searching for a father who wasn't there. But when that happens to my mother, when my brother gets kicked out of school, my mother being an African immigrant who sacrificed everything to go to England to give her children a better life and really valued the educational opportunities that England had to offer. And literally, education was the only reason why my parents moved to England in the early 70s. To see her son now get kicked out of school was a big wake-up call for her. And that's when everything changed. That's when she began to focus much more on discipline, much more on routine, much more on anything to keep us focused on anything besides our loss, our pain, the fact that we didn't have a father. And there were temptations out in the street, you know, especially for my brothers. And so, you know, she had all these sort of very creative strategies, one of which was she at one point asked my teachers for my school syllabus for the year, and she looked through it, and she figured out what I was going to be learning in, say, you know, a month or a few weeks, etc., and she would begin to teach it to me at home beforehand. I was only a child. I was in elementary school, and I had only just started school when my father passed away. I went to school, I think it was about 3 weeks later than the other children. Didn't feel like I fitted in. I just, you know, it was, even though I was very young, it was clear that our family was kind of coming apart. And I didn't really, even at that age, pay attention in school at all. My teacher spoke to my mother about it. And this was one of her solutions, to teach me ahead of time, so that by the time something new came up in school, by the time, you know, a new topic, be it, what are you learning about age, your times tables, you're learning to tell time for the first time, by the time my teachers taught it to me, I already had mastered it because my mother taught it to me beforehand at home. And that was really genius, to teach child in advance in that way. Just one of many, many things that she did to put us back on track.
And I imagine in that process, it probably promoted healing within her, because this is the difficult thing, you know, when you are faced with a tragedy like this, is that you have to kind of let go of yourself. And we learned this along the way, in which your mother had exampled. Now, you know, she's putting you, she's putting your siblings ahead of her own grief. Amazing, this transition that takes place. Now, what led you and, you know, your siblings to the fields that you've excelled in?
Well, so many different factors. I mean, one of the things that my mother used to do for us when we were young is she would look for articles in the newspapers of black success stories, for example, of people who looked like us, people who are minorities, who had overcome something and soared, people who had thrived in their chosen professions. And this was a big building block for us in terms of self-esteem and confidence. So she would cut out these articles of black people who thrived in their chosen profession, and she would plaster them to our walls, so that whenever we came home from school, we would be bombarded with image after image after image of black success stories. And the interesting thing is that regardless of what race you are, every child, actually every human being, has a tape that plays in their head about what they can and can't do.
Exactly.
You know, for us, it was to do with race, you know, being minorities growing up in England. So therefore, it's relatively obvious that every child has a version of that. And, you know, what my mother decided to do was to help us change the perception we have of ourselves.
As dictated by the culture.
You know, my parents came to England in 1970-1971 at a time when, you know, people would put posters up saying "Keep England White." You know, it wasn't as bad, obviously, in the late 80s and the early 90s. But, you know, it was still difficult to be an immigrant in that country, to be perfectly honest with you. And so she wanted to change the tape that played in our head about ourselves, about what we could and couldn't achieve. And so seeing all these examples of Black people, of Africans who were, you know, musicians, who were singers, who were writers, who were poets, who served as role models that maybe we couldn't see and speak to and touch, but they were very, very present in our household nonetheless. That was a game changer for us. And there were lots of other things she did as well.
Well, your mother did a lot to instill values in you and your family that you say you hold to today. I can't imagine separating, you know, from those lessons that were well learned, you know, at her knees, at her footsteps, and, you know, and through your life with her.
Yeah, I mean, there were some lessons that you know, were a big part of my childhood that I kind of, you know, still incorporate into my life today, but they're not the easiest of lessons. One of the other lessons that my mother taught us was, you know, to divide our day into three equal parts. So, for example, there's obviously 24 hours in a day, and she would make us divide our day into three parts of 8 hours each. And she'd say to us, right, 8 hours to be spent sleeping, 8 hours to be spent in school, and the last 8 hours of your day should be spent working towards your dream. And, you know, her whole philosophy was that generally everybody sleeps for 8 hours, you know, given generally everybody sort of spends 8 hours at work, you know. I mean, obviously people sometimes have multiple jobs, and of course it's not always possible to do that. But if, you know, if a person only has one job, generally it's usually for about 8 hours or so during the day. So the only advantage, she said this to us constantly, the only advantage that you have as a person, just in terms of improving yourself in your chosen field, the only thing that can separate you or would make you stand out from the next person is how you spend the last 8 hours of your day. To what do you dedicate your spare time? Because guess what? The first 16 hours of your day are already taken.
Exactly.
Are already allotted and spoken for. You only really have, if you're trying to change your life, you only really have the last 8 hours. That's it.
Yeah.
And so that was also a game changer for us, because we began to really focus on how we spent our spare time, you know, and what sort of distractions lingered. It was especially important for my brother, who ended up becoming an actor, who would dedicate his 8 hours to rehearsing and practicing Shakespeare. I talk about a lot of that in the book. But, you know, these are lessons that even in my late 30s, I hold dear. I have kids now, and so it's kind of difficult when you have young children to have those, you know, last 8 hours of your day for yourself, because they're not yours. Mm-hmm. They obviously belong to your children. But,
right,
you know,
exactly.
The idea of using your spare time, however little spare time that you have, you know, effectively, is something that, you know, was really important to us growing up.
Well, and you think of the West. We got about a minute and a half left here, and I wish I had more time with you, Zane, because I love your story. I love these golden nuggets of life that your mother, you know, inculcated in your family, and what you're sharing in your book here as well. It is going to be with some reticence to say goodbye to you, because I want to continue this conversation. So, but time being what it is, you know, especially in that last 8 hours, and having that discipline to honor that 8 hours, boy, the West could learn so much, you know, especially with our kids that have been overtaken by technology, and they find way too much time, right, with things that are a distraction. Go ahead. I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Yeah, no, no. So it's funny. I grew up at a different time. You know, I grew up in the late 90s, so there was only really television and phone. There was no Netflix. There was no YouTube. There was no Instagram. There was no Facebook. And so, I wish all the parents good luck with the 8-hour rule in today's world.
Yeah, without a doubt. Where the children take us, how one family achieved the unimaginable. And I'm telling you, read this book and get ready that maybe your family would be the next one to achieve the unimaginable, just like Zane and her family did. Zane Asher has been our guest. Zane, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you so much, Pearl. Bye-bye.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way.
For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The nation is waking up to another grim COVID milestone. 1 million people have now lost their lives to the virus. President Biden updating the death toll overnight, sending prayers to all the loved ones left behind.
1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table, each irreplaceable, each leaving behind a family, a community, forever changed because of this pandemic.
Biden also ordering flags to be lowered to half staff to honor those who have died from the virus. Fewer travelers are taking to the skies as inflation tightens its hold on Americans' budgets. Adobe saying airline bookings fell 17% in April from March. Spending on domestic tickets totaled $7.8 billion in April. That's a 13% drop from March. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Probably wondered, you know, how do you find meaning in a world that seems to be so upside down? I mean, we've been warned that there was going to be that time when good was called evil, evil called good. It's one thing to get the warning. It's another thing to start living it out and going, we do, right? It's just about 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here and Dr. Russell Meeks is going to be joining us talking about his new book, Ecclesiastes and the Search for Meaning in an Upside Down World, which combines a memoir, an exegesis, and theological reflection to demonstrate the ongoing significance of this book to the Christian life in the 21st century. Dr. Meek, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for writing a book. I mean, wow. If this was a message that we ever needed, was this something that would wake you up repeatedly at 3 o'clock in the morning and all these questions would come out and you said, look, I've got to document this stuff because maybe I can help some people besides myself in the process.
Sure, sure. Well, maybe not 3 a.m. because I have 3 kids and so I'm pretty exhausted by the time that comes around. But definitely on my heart and mind for a long time.
Yeah, God likes 3 o'clock in the morning for me. Russell, I don't know, but it's just that I am, he likes 3 o'clock, and it doesn't matter what time zone I'm in. I can be in Europe, 3 o'clock in the morning. I can be in Hawaii, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's consistent. I go, oh, God, you're such a kidder. So that's why I often refer to that, because it's that time where you find yourself, and maybe because of the kids and that, maybe it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, but I think we find ourselves at times staring at the ceiling tiles going, you know, is this all there is? You know, what is all this about? Right?
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah.
The perennial questions. I love the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm glad that you focused on this. Tell us why.
You know, it Honestly, I started working through Ecclesiastes because I just really struggled in my faith. You know, I grew up in an abusive family, and that really rocked my world for a long time. And when I came to faith in Christ, I had to kind of wrestle through what it meant to have grown up in that sort of a home and then to follow Christ after that. And so I started reading Ecclesiastes because I thought, man, like, here's a guy who also has struggled in life and has somehow found a way through to, like, genuine faith. And so it was just really encouraging to me.
Well, a little bit about your background. I mean, 12 years old, you know, your father abandoned you. You're being raised by your grandmother, who ends up dying of cancer. I mean, a lot of life hits you square at an age that, I mean, you wouldn't want this for your kids. You wouldn't want this for your worst enemy, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it was a very, very difficult time. It's still shocking. Like, when I think about, you know, my own kids and how old they are now, it's just like, man, God, please don't let them go through something like this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess maybe the redemptive aspect is, because of all that you went through, for people who can hear what it is that you have to share, maybe they can avoid. Maybe they can learn the lessons earlier and not have to go through, you know, all the pain and suffering that you went through to arrive to that conclusion, like Ecclesiastes, which says, you know, it's all vanity, right? I mean, the things of this world are meaningless. There's something much more important to life than the things of this world.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, the book ends with that statement to fear God and keep his commands. And that is the, you know, the driving force in the whole book. And then woven throughout, there are these comments about enjoying life, you know, enjoying things like food and a spouse, our family. And so we kind of combine that faithful, trusting, living for the Lord with these, like, small moments of joy that he gives us. And it's a really hopeful picture of what life can be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who did you understand that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes?
Who wrote it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I don't know. The book doesn't say for sure who wrote it. If you were, like, to tie me down and force me to answer, I would say Solomon probably wrote it, but I don't think it's something that we can be, like, definitive about, because Scripture doesn't say. But I think there are enough clues in there to indicate that it probably was him.
Well, and I would agree with that statement, and I think of who Solomon was. I mean, God gifted him with wisdom, you know, wisdom that
right.
could never ever be duplicated, right? Outside of Jesus, but as far as a humanoid on the planet, he was blessed with so much wisdom. And, you know, and I listen to your experiences. Certainly, I've got experiences of my own. I feel exactly the same way. I don't want my kids to make the same mistakes I made. And that, you know, I tell them all the time, I said, you know, I hesitate to give you advice, but I can give you experience. I can tell you what
sure.
what happened to me, you know.
Sure.
The bad choices I made, and it goes back. I often, and I love this. I love this intervention in the conversation that God had with Cain. I often refer to it because it's so meaningful to me. It simplifies it, just like the final verse of Ecclesiastes. You know, kind of surmises what life is all about, right? You get these golden nuggets that come throughout the Word of God that are so precious. But in that conversation that God had with Cain, Cain's down his mouth because. You know, God didn't accept his, you know, his offering because he tried to cheat God and thought that, you know, God would just, you know, extend grace and accept the unacceptable. You know, the holy God would accept anything less than holy. And he broke it down to him very, very simply. Just to look at Cain. If you do right, will it not go well for you?
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
Right. I mean, and you say that to your kids, go, look, if you do right, will it not go well for you? You know, right produces right results. I mean, it's really just that simple. And to me, that admonition cries out through the millennia, you know, to all of us. And at the times, you know, when I have those moments of frustration and I go back to the source and realize, well, I didn't choose rightly. And so I expect to have good fruit out of bad seed. It just doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it does not. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the difficult part of that, too, on the other side, is that you have Abel, who does do what is right, and then he gets murdered because of it, you know. And I think that's a big struggle. Like, on the one hand, we we make these really awful decisions and suffer the consequences for it. And then on the other hand, sometimes other people make awful decisions and we suffer the consequences for it, you know. And I think that's where that's where the gospel meets us and the love of God and shows us, you know, that even in the midst of all this suffering, God does love us faithfully, you know.
Yeah, but who do you want to die for at the end of the day? I mean, Abel, yes, I mean, he worshiped God, did right, and died. And, of course, this was kind of, the precedent of all things, good and evil. That evil could not stand good and was going to do everything it can to eliminate it this side of heaven. And so here we are, fast forward 21st century, and we're seeing, again, the battle of good and evil. And you've got people wanting to stand for life versus people that want to promote death, and we've got all kinds of craziness going on. So why, you know, this has been the history of man, has it not?
Absolutely has, yep. Definitely that that struggle, you know, right? Yeah, exactly. You see it in Cain and Abel, all the way up through this, Genesis 3:15 tells us there's going to be enmity between, you know, the woman's seed, Christ, and the serpent, so...
And so here we are battling good and evil even this day, and the march goes on. And, you know, as people who've been sanctified by God to stand for truth and stand for these things like what we're talking about from the book of Ecclesiastes, Genesis, go throughout the Word of God. I mean, these golden nuggets that keep coming out of it, they said, look, if you do right, will it not go well for you? It's like, what are you going to plant your flag on? You know, what is it that you're willing to fall on your sword for, but not for the Word of God?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There has to be, yeah, absolutely standing on that standard is so significant, so important.
I mean, you know, and of course, Russell, right now it's easy, you know, we're talking about this. But we don't have anybody right now with a knife at our throats saying, I'm going to kill you because I hate your God. But there are people all around the world, even as we're talking right now, martyrs for the faith who have come to that moment and from time immemorial, you know, have come at that moment that it's our God against their God. And, you know, and up to now, we have not been faced with that threat, although we're getting some minor, I say by comparison, some minor inconveniences. But, you know, but the Bible's clear. If we can't stand for the little things, then how are we going to stand for the big things, right? And we've got to go to break. Yeah. We've got more from Dr. Russell Meek after this. Stay with us.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Spring is officially here, and Amazon Layaway is helping you get warm weather ready. With Amazon Layaway, you can reserve items by paying 20% of the price, followed by 4 equal payments over 8 weeks. Visit Amazon.com/layaway to shop everything from vacuums, kitchen appliances, and closet organizers to lawn equipment, grill accessories, and patio furniture. Amazon Layaway offers thousands of must-have home essentials from favorite brands like Black & Decker, Weber, and Craftsman. It's payment flexibility without credit checks, interest, or cancellation fees. Simply reserve your items by choosing the Reserve with Layaway label near the product name to place your layaway order and begin payments. Once payments are complete, items will ship with the speed and convenience of Amazon that you know and love. Amazon Layaway may not be available to all customers. Terms and conditions apply. Visit Amazon.com/layaway to learn more.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Listeners in India are hearing the gospel, some for the first time, and are so moved by the good news that they just have to share it. The Tide Ministry is so encouraged to receive letters from listeners who hear the message of Christ and are compelled to write to us about their encounters with Jesus. Like this Bengali listener who wrote, I've come to know that Jesus Christ is the only God who can save me from my sins. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We are so thankful for these salvation stories, and we pray that those who have come to know Christ through our radio programs are also helping us in our mission to share the good news by telling their neighbors. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in India whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
You know, every time I hear this lyric, you know, from Danny Gokey, it is so much who we are, you know, and this is the difference between faith in saying, hey, look, I believe in God and I'm going to hold on to God's promises, and not having realized what faith is drawing you to, you know, and that is the real opportunity, you know, for growth. Isn't it, Dr. Meek, when you're in that differential of the reality versus faith?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and absolutely. And I think, you know, as we're talking about Ecclesiastes, and I think that's one of the big important pieces of the book that we can take away, right? You know, we mentioned the fearing God and trusting in the Lord. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about all of these situations where things don't work out the way we think they're supposed to work out, right? So he says the fastest runner doesn't win the race, or in the place of wickedness, or in the place of righteousness, I saw wickedness and I saw a wicked person elevated, or someone who died without being able to enjoy the things God had given them. And like, it's those moments of just extreme difficulty that could push us away from God or push us deeper into our faith. And I think that the Ecclesiastes calls us to walk deeper in our faith instead of withdrawing from the Lord in those moments, you know?
Yeah. The question is, who do you trust? Right.
Right.
And yeah, I got to tell you, I had a crisis myself of trusting, you know, all the wrong people, until a dear friend of mine says, well, who are you supposed to trust? You know, because I felt like I got abandoned or rejected and, you know, disappointed in relationships. And I realized, you know, I'm trusting the wrong person. And the Bible is clear. There's only one person to trust, and that's God himself. Because, you know, us humanoids, as well intentioned as we want to be, you know, like Paul says, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. That which I do, I don't. I mean, this conflict that goes on within our own psyche and the experience of the human journey. And God understands this, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the one, you know, just like this song says, maybe you just haven't seen it yet. But are you going to hold to God's promises? Have you experienced enough of God's promise? I mean, for you in your life and the way it started, and here you are, you know, with a family of four, and God has blessed you so much here. Well, you actually a family of five, because you and your wife and the three kids has blessed you so much. You can look back and see these memorials along the way where God has been faithful, you know, to you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's this one moment that sticks out in my life when, so I went to seminary, got a master's degree while I was in biblical languages. And during, so ever since my grandmother passed away when I was 12, you know, I really struggled with drug and alcohol abuse. And I can remember this moment being in seminary. The whole time I was in seminary, 3 years, you know, I was using drugs and drinking heavily. And I can remember
while you're in seminary, you're doing drugs and drinking.
Yeah,
you know what you're saying?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it was a very dark place, you know, and for not the seminary, my life.
Right. No. I understand, but that's kind of yin and yang. I mean, you're going to seminary, seeking God. And still dealing with this issue. I mean, not that's especially unique or anything like that. It's just it's interesting that you're living that contrast while in the seminary.
Yeah, completely hypocritical, you know. And it was really messed up. It was really messed up. And there was this moment when I woke up, and I'm not like a super, like, touchy-feely kind of guy, or, you know, have these, like, incredible experiences. But I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, say to me when I woke up, like, hey, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, like, you're, and my dad was an alcoholic, and, you know, he's like, your dad didn't intend to kind of leave this wake of destruction behind him, but he did. And, man, I'll tell you, like, in that moment, I got up, I dumped out the pills that I'd been taking, flushed them down the toilet, and the Lord delivered me, you know, like set me free. I haven't used since then. I mean, it was just incredible moment of God's grace and coming to me and saying, like, hey, turn away from this life that you're living because it's not good, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was a huge turning point.
Now, did any of your friends while you were in seminary, were they aware that you were dealing with this?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so
part of the problem, right? I didn't have Christian brothers and sisters that I was being open and vulnerable with, you know? And mm-hmm. So I just hid everything, led this completely double life and just faked it, you know?
Yeah. And God had to bring you to that point of reality and said, hey, look at, you know, Russell, I love you no matter what.
Right.
I'm still your God. You're still my guy. And we're going to get through this together. And
right.
And yours is a story of, you know, in a sense, when you got to that crossroad, you chose wisely, and God gave you immediate relief. I mean, it's like the book of Mark.
Yeah.
You hear throughout the book of Mark, everything's always immediate, so quick.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes we always want to go, oh, God, can we speed this up a little bit, you know? And sometimes
right.
He does, but sometimes, you know, the lesson is still in the process. And we've got to get through this, right? So how did you meet your wife, Russell?
So when I dumped all those drugs out and quit, I called a friend of mine who lived in Colorado actually, and I said, hey, like I need to get away from where I'm at right now and just get out of this context, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I quit my job and moved to Colorado for a few months,
mm-hmm.
and my friend actually worked at a church with in the youth group, and we went to a barbecue to celebrate kind of end of the semester, and my wife was there, and mm-hmm. I saw her, and I said, that is the woman I'm going to marry. I just knew, man. Like, I was like, that's her. Like, that's it. And so, sure enough, man, we got to talking, and 6 months – I don't recommend this, by the way. So 6 months later, we were engaged, and then a year after we met, we got married and been married for almost 13 years. The 16th will be our 13th anniversary.
You don't recommend marriage, or you don't recommend running into a courtship that fast?
I don't recommend running into a courtship that fast.
Okay.
Definitely recommend marriage. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right, exactly. Well, hey, look it. God got you out of drugs immediately, so he had to get you married immediately, too, I guess. Maybe
that's, yeah, that's right.
Maybe that's part of the story that that goes along with this. Well, that's amazing. So here it is. So you give yourself a little bit of a retreat, go to Colorado, you meet the next Mrs. Meeks or the Miss Meeks that in your life. And here you are. And so how has life been for you since then?
Ups and downs, you know. It's still like it's still been a struggle sometimes, you know. We adopted through foster care, my wife and I did, and like that was just a beast of a process, you know. Working through that system is very, very difficult. I mean, if you want to talk about need for reform, that there's definitely need for reform there. But you know, go ahead.
And you bring up a good point, you know, in terms of foster care. I mean, we know there's needs to be a reform for adoption, for example. I mean, this whole issue of Roe v. Wade that's on our streets that we're dealing with right now, that's going to be taken back to the states. And, you know, here we are, we're aborting a million children every year in the United States, as best we can tell. These are estimates. But we have over 2 million families waiting to adopt kids. So something's, you know, there's a disconnect there to your point, not only in foster care, but anything that has to do, you know, with kids, and especially in this kind of process. And as we continue to move and herald that option for women, as opposed to aborting your child, you know, there's safe haven laws, there's opportunities now for adoption, that we need to promote adoption and this process, even foster care, in such a way that is, you know, win-win for all concerned, if I can put it in that context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, man, my foster or my adopted son now, his biological mom was a drug addict, a prostitute. His dad gave up parental rights almost immediately. And you look at that situation and think, man, this is hopeless, right? Like this is the type of person who you think like, okay, that maybe this is the type of person that someone would say to, you should get an abortion. But brother, I'm so glad she did not, you know?
Yes.
Because now we get to have this son in our lives. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's tragic all around, but the even greater tragedy would have been if she had chosen not to give him life, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and here it
so
is. I mean, Russell, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the forthcoming chapters of this young man's life. What it's going to be like. I mean, he was sanctified and saved by God, I believe, for a reason. And we may not know it all right now and can't see it all. You know, just like the song said, you know, that opened up this segment. But, you know, I just have this sense that I can't wait to see what kind of story his life tells going forward.
That's right.
In much the same way like your story. I mean, here it is. I mean, you know, from ashes to glory. And the consistent thing throughout your life has been the hand of God, has it not?
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Russell Meek has been our guest. Dr. Meek's book is Ecclesiastes and the Search for Meaning in an Upside Down World. Ted, it's going to be a blessing. And certainly it's going to drive you back into the book of Ecclesiastes, do a deeper dive on all the great wisdom that is espoused in that short book. Russell Meek, thank you for being with us. God bless.
Yeah,
first, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do the letters IRS give you?